is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty Show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the face that produces the place, has the latest. And the latest is the Astros are going to try to flush down all of what happened yesterday as they lose 7-1 in the opening of the series against the Yankees. All of the Framber situation, they're going to try to flush that until Joe Espada met with the media today. And Joe Espada came to the media and he said, damn it, I've got something to say. This is right after, I mean, he had him a hell of a day. Went ahead and sent Chaz McCormick's ass back down to Sugar Land like he's just firing people at Sprint. Mm. And then, I'm sorry, man, there was that time frame in the 90s, man. They were just
Sprint.
Hey, man, them managers in there firing people on their lunch break at Sprint every day. But he went here and cut loose of Chaz McCormick, which hurts us. Victor Caratini, he is back a day late. He addressed Joe Espada, not yesterday, today. He addressed, and I'm telling you, folks, you can hear him. You can hear him in his voice. He said, God dog it, I got a little something I want to say, damn it. I want to say something. Here's Joe Espada trying to regain the captain mantra. Here he is talking about the Framber Valdez, Cesar Salazar situation.
Let me start today before you guys start, you know, with the questions. So yesterday I obviously met with Salazar and Valdez once I finished talking to you post-game. And I really wanted to get down to, number one was the asking him to step off. I wanted to know about the thought process, what, you know, which pitch, who was calling which pitch and what. And I wanted to hear from both of them at the same time. I wanted to have a conversation face-to-face because I wanted to hear the truth about the whole entire thing that happened in that inning. I have a lot of respect for both players, and I truly believe that when we have these conversations, that they're honest, and I want them to tell me the truth, and I want them to tell you guys the truth once they, you know, talk to the media. So I don't want to get into specifics, but I do want to say that I want to put this behind us. There's a lot of speculations and stuff that is being sent on the media, which I don't read, but they make me, you know, people tell me what's going on, and I don't like it. A lot of that stuff is not true, but I understand the environment and the what comes with it, right? So I appreciate if we can just get past this and go back to, you know, baseball.
All right, there is a there's Joe Espada coming to the table addressing, and he said, finally, it felt like Joe wanted to say, before we get started, I got something to say before you ask your little questions. It felt like that's what Joe was in that type of mood. Your reaction and response to Joe Espada.
Well, first off, I applaud Joe Espada in how he handles issues, frictions, adversity within the clubhouse. I love that let's call both guys in and let's air this thing out and get to a resolve and move on. I applaud the hell out of that. Now, on the other hand, his ability to communicate with the media once again is interesting, right? I mean, this he comes out hot, guns blazing, like, hey, y'all, listen up. I'm gonna tell you what's going on.
Hold on to your little question,
so that we can all sweep this under the rug and move on. And right when he got to the point of, all right, now here's what happened, he said, well, I'm going to ask them to tell the truth to the media, and I hope they tell you the truth, and now we're going to sweep this under the rug. And he didn't shed any light on what happened in the clubhouse, on what happened on the diamond, on the mound, behind the plate, in the game. He didn't shed any light on what went on in that meeting, which, again, I don't expect him to, but when you come out hot like you are fixing to, then the expectation is, all right, well, if you want everybody to get beyond it and everybody to keep speculating, you want to point out that everything is wrong and there's a lot of bad information out there, then, hey, write the record. You know,
doesn't agree with the stuff that's being said out there, which I guess could lead you to a point to think that that he doesn't believe that was what happened and what he got from the meeting.
Well, I mean, he could. I mean, to me, if this was a man, it's easy, man. These guys got crossed up. He would have said it. Like, the fact that he didn't tell us something, I think, is very telling of what he found out when he did his little investigation in the manager's meeting room. I mean, it's anyway, applaud him for the manner in which he goes about dealing with his players. I give him an A for effort in a sense of energy and juice to that interview, but an F when it comes to actually saying something of any kind of substance to change the narrative. Right, like right now, it's just again you put me in a spot where it's like, hey, clearly if it were no big deal, he would have explained it. The fact that he didn't explain it tells me personally that there's something they don't want to get out of the clubhouse right now.
All right, we'll address more of that because somebody else has spoken on the Framber situation as well, and we'll let you hear what that was also. But they got game two tonight, and the lineup here is with Jason Alexander on the mound, Peña Alvarez back in the lineup, and he is in left field. Altuve is DHing, Correa behind him, Sanchez back in the lineup, Diaz behind the plate, and as we said, Chaz McCormick has been optioned back to Sugarland. Hell, I didn't know he still had options, but he has been optioned down to Sugarland. That's because they have reinstated Victor Caratini as he returns back from the IL, that seven-day concussion IL he was on. He is in the lineup as well, and he is out there playing first base, returning. Urias is at second, and then Taylor Trammell back in the lineup in center field. So that is the latest there. Clint, we've talked a lot about the Framber situation, the Salazar situation, because that was the big thing coming out of the game. But one thing it covered up was they played against another AL playoff team, and right now it would take a real meltdown for the Yankees to miss the postseason where they are right now. They've gotten hot here of late. And they scored one run. And they went up against their ace, and they scored run. They were shut out two games ago by the Angels. They have struggled here lately to score runs. And that, to me, is the thing that's getting covered up, luckily, by the Framber situation is, again, they go out against good pitching, and they can't score runs. And when that grand slam was hit, you knew it was over, because they can't come back and score more runs, and they end up scoring one run. They've got to figure this out. Hopefully Alvarez returning helps them with their ability to score runs, but this is the hidden thing that gets kind of swept under the rug with the situation with Framber that's on TV right now.
Yeah, look, it's no doubt about it. I mean, they're streaky right now, and they've got to produce at the plate. I think Yordan Alvarez being in that lineup absolutely changes the dynamic, not only of the lineup, but how the opposing pitcher has to approach the lineup. And so hopefully that is the shot in the arm that these guys need. It's definitely a game changer. So, with him in the lineup, I think we got a better chance, obviously, of scoring some points some runs, and let's see if they can keep him in there and we can get off this rest train every five games.
Yeah, so let's see if they can score some runs, and they are, listen, there's some tough pitching. Will Warren is probably the easier of the ones. They've got Rodon tomorrow, and he has had a really good year, so that's another tough lefty that they'll have to deal with. We'll see if they can score some runs in this series. Also, a note, Isak Paredes, there's video of it. He was taking ground balls at the Daikin today, and he also was running in the outfield. Joe Espada said Paredes went for a follow-up imaging on his hamstring yesterday. So good sign out there. He's taking ground balls, fielding them, throwing them over to first. We'll see what that means for the Astros with his potential return and where he would.
I have no idea where he's going to fit in, but that video of him fielding ground balls, throwing to first base, he looks light on his feet, looks like he's moving well. There's a report that he was doing some running exercises out in right field, out in the outfield as well. So, I don't know, but with that level of hamstring injury that keeps you out, man, it sure seems like he's early on, September 3, he's moving like that. I don't think he's ready to run any bases or anything, but I think it was pretty promising for Astros fans. I don't know where the hell he fits in when he does get back. I'm guessing maybe DH if anything, but we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Woo!
5 o'clock fire.
All right, D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud spoke to the media today. Talking about similar things. Here is D'Amico talking about, hey, this is where we are now. Talk is over. Let's go.
Yeah, for our offensive line, we'll see. There's been questions all offseason about our offensive line. Everybody wants to know who's going out there. Who is this guy, this position, that position. It's just a lot of talk that I'm, quite frankly, I'm tired of talking about it. Like, it's time to go play, and let's see how our five matches up against a really great defensive line. And that's what we'll see on Sunday. Let's see how it all plays out.
That was D'Amico talking about the O-line, and then the guy who is playing behind the O-line, C.J. Stroud, speaks about them going into this game against the Rams.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing about this group that I'm really proud of is that, man, they're dogs, man, from left to right, up and down, no matter the age or the position. I think everybody, you know, that we got up there loves to play and plays really hard. The effort is there, and, yeah, I think got a great challenge. You know, this D-line is really good, you know, starting to reverse. You know, he's really, really good and really strong, powerful. There's different type of rushes. Good in the run game. 55, 91, 0. Really, all of them are really good. So, yeah, I think this is a great challenge for us. And, you know, those guys, they know that and they're preparing. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great battle.
All right. That's them talking about what is clearly, I think, everyone's belief, but clearly their belief, the key to the game, Clint, is the offensive line. And I'm with D'Amico. Hey. Hey, tired of talking about it. Let's see it. And we're going to see, as we talked about, a fair matchup to kind of see where they are.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm less tired of talking about it and more ready to see some improvement. I mean, there's a huge gamble here that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans took with their approach to fixing the offensive line. And I agree with Brandon Scott. I think on paper, I think as we look at right now, I do think they are better everywhere except where Laremy Tunsil left. I mean, whether it's Cam Robinson or Arionte Ursary, they're not going to be Laremy Tunsil. I think you can go left guard to right tackle, and you can argue that they're better than anything that was on the field last year at any given point. Now, that's in theory. That's on paper. We hadn't seen them play a snap yet. And the truth of the matter is, just being a little bit better than you were last year, as bad as they were last year, is not going to be enough. And so, look, I'm not tired of talking about it. I'm tired of it being an issue, right? I mean, I'm just hoping like hell the cheap approach, the inexperienced approach, the youth movement, if you will. I just hope that works up front with the Texans in a way in which it hasn't worked for Ed Ingram with Minnesota, or the way it didn't work with Jake Andrews with New England, or, you know, the way that guard didn't work out for Titus. Now he's moving back to tackle. Like I hope it all comes together on Sunday as something that we can put behind us and the problem be solved. I'm with D'Amico there. But yeah, I'm more tired of it being a problem than I am talking about it.
Yeah. And we'll see. And we'll see. I think that part that you brought up there, they took a real unconventional path of how they decided to fix.